country singers sing. And the way they play those guitars, boy, they sure do make them ring.
This is Dina Martin, daughter of Dean Martin, and you are listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on The Way Back East Fabulous.
That I just wrote my first country song.
Well, yes, friends, once again, following those classic gospel favorites, we find ourselves on the other side of another hour, that being the third and final hour of today's program. We're still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, also aired over historic CFRC 119 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada, also heard over Durham area through www.oshawarocks.com, and also worldwide at Way Back with Johnny on YouTube. With all that mentioned, I would like to invite y'all into this, the third and final hour of our tribute to the 100th centennial birthday of none other than Andy Griffith, the most beloved actor in Hollywood history. With that mentioned, there was a pioneer broadcasting legend that I have always idolized and fancied some of my own career after. That, of course, was Paul Harvey, known and beloved for his Rest of the Story segments. With that mentioned, Paul recorded a broadcast about Mayberry and Mount Airy in 1987, which I will now open up the third and final hour today with. We'll also dedicate this to my late father, Papa Willie B, who him and I have spent many years and many visits to the Mount Airy area. With that, we'll dedicate this also to anyone out there listening in who just happens to be in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Welcome in, friends.
Now, the rest of the story. It is half a century and a fragrant memory away in the Blue Ridge foothills of North Carolina on a dusty country road 30 miles northwest of Pilot Mountain. Stay on that road. It is taking you home to a place that shines in your heart like a lighted window on a dark night. To a little town that rises from the mountain mist like a backwoods brigadoon. To a gentle community called Mount Airy. There, everybody knows everybody, and everybody is worth knowing. Mr. Forrest, the town barber, whose shop was in the square next to the shoe store. Pretty Miss Valentine, the fourth grade teacher, secret sweetheart of every small boy who ever daydreamed in her class. Gruff old Wade Stillman, the proprietor of the local pool hall, keeper in line of the town's mischievous teenagers. There's Floyd Pike, the kindly electrician, and Bess Merritt, the stern-faced lady principal of Rockford School, and Sam Patterson, the smiling, handshaking town sheriff. Their homes are all there, on streets lined with silver maple and sycamore, in a place of happily ever aftering called Mount Airy. This is as it was 50 years ago, when a boy was growing up there, a boy who lived on Haymore Street in a white frame house with a swing on the front porch. He loved to fish in Lovell's Creek for horny-heads and perch, down where the afternoon breezes whispered in the birch trees, down by the big slick rock that jutted 5 yards out into the stream. He loved to swing on the rope that hung from a neighbor's tree or sit on the curb at night with the other boys playing the harmonica and telling ghost stories. His dad was shipping foreman at the local furniture company. The boy worked there during summer months. And then came the autumn, when the sycamores would turn brown and the silver maples would explode in crimson and yellow flame, and it was back to the red brick schoolhouse on Rockford Street. After school, there was Lamb's drugstore for a soda, and a free stand on the scale with a big glass dial, and there were Saturday matinees at the Grand, and Sunday services at Haymore Street Baptist, and picnics in the Glen, and hot dogs at the Snappy Lunch Cafe, and a constant companion mongrel pooch named Tippy, who rode everywhere in a handlebar basket on the boy's bicycle. And one day that same boy left his happy haven in the Blue Ridge foothills, first for the university at Chapel Hill, and then forever. But he took with him an overstuffed scrapbook of Mount Airy memories, a collection of unfading photographs of all his mind, landscapes of enchanted places, portraits of a warm family and true friends and good neighbors, and from those recollections always arose the aroma of love, the tie that bound, the true magic of that otherwise insignificant town, and those gentle ghosts continued to haunt the boy wherever he went until he brought them to life for the rest of us to share. You may have wondered where that wonderful place came from. Well, it was real, and for one brief, shining moment, it belonged to a boy who grew up and had a television show and took us, smiling by the hand, to Once Upon a Time. The boy was Andy Griffith, and his beloved country Camelot, Mount Airy, became Mayberry, USA. And now you know the rest of the story.
And yes, friends, it's now time to take our weekly trip down east, down into the good old Maritimes of Canada with a collection of East Coast favorites. First of all, we'll hear a classic by the King of the Newfies, Michael T. Wall, going out to him and his beloved companion and wife, Miss Nancy. For them today will be the Little Boats of Newfoundland, as sung by Michael himself. Then we'll follow with another legend of the East Coast, Newfoundland's own Roy Payne, and a classic called Fishing Town. We'll wrap up this collection of East Coast ballads with, yes, another pioneer of the East Coast, and the First Lady of Newfoundland Music, Miss Joan Morrissey, and a song going out to her family in Newfoundland, and a remastered version of I Recently Remastered Myself. It'll be the classic called The Story of the Mobile Goat. With that, we'll send this out, everybody out there in the East Coast, especially our good friends Peter and Myrna in Pugwash, Nova Scotia. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Told me stories when I was just a little boy about those little boats off Newfoundland. Sometimes she'd make me cry. She'd tell me of the dangers and the hardships off the sea that will remain till the day I die in my memory. Brave men, she said, is what they are, those who face the icy wind, knowing as they leave the sheltered coast, they may never return again. And then as teardrops fill my eyes, she'd hold my tiny hand and say, son, the proudest thing on earth are those little boats of Newfoundland. God, do me a favor, guide them with your hand, protect them from the dangers and the fury of the sea, cause those little boats of Newfoundland mean the world. Yes, those little boats of Newfoundland.
child I wanted to be, a sailor on the deep blue sea. Now I've grown older and I'll never be a sailor on the deep blue sea. I was born in a fishing town, not much of anything ever went down, but people came from miles around just to visit my fishing town. Old man sitting in the afternoon shade, young girl playing in the ocean waves. There's not much money to be saved, but people living there, they got it made. All of my life I wanted to be a sailor on the deep blue sea, sailing far and sailing free. A sailor on the deep blue sea. Salt water in the air, smiling faces everywhere. Born to live without a care, I had it made when I lived there. The day I moved back to my hometown, well, that's the day I'll finally settle down. 'Cause people come from miles around just to live in that fishing town. Yeah, when I was born, I wanted to be a sailor on the deep blue sea. Now I've grown older, I'll never be a sailor on the deep blue sea. A sailor on the deep blue sea. A sailor on the deep blue sea. A sailor on the deep blue sea, a sailor on the deep blue sea, a sailor on the deep blue sea, a sailor on the deep
blue sea. Have you heard the story of the mobile goat on the grand old southern shore? In the lovely Isle of Newfoundland, where goats don't roam no more. It's about a man named Dylan, whose cursing was of note, and how he was digging for spots one day when he spoke to the mobile goat. Now that goat had been stealing, digging spots for 20 years or more, and every time he saw him, Dylan cursed and raged and swore. He was digging hard in his field this time, the goat was chewing away, near a great big 6-foot granite rock. Well, Dylan heard him say, are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap? Oh, I'm digging them, says Dylan, not enough to fill a boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat. Now Dylan got the fright of his life when he knew just what took place, and he said, good Lord, to the devil himself, come to snatch me from your grace. Come to take me for my sacrilege and my rotten life of sin. And he ran like mad down the hill to home, and the goat just pitched right in. But they say 'twas the priest just passing by when he heard old Dylan curse on the goat and the spuds and the Lord above for making all things worse. Just to hush the roars at heaven's above, he thought he'd bid good day. And as he passed the garden fence, the good priest he did say, are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap? I'm digging them, says Dylan. Got enough to fill me boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat. I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat. You could never tell Dylan 'twas the priest who spoke to stop his cursing spree, passing quietly behind that rock so Dylan couldn't see. And to this day in Mobile, on that grand old southern shore, there's a thousand who believe the goat spoke out when Dylan swore. Are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap? Oh, I'm digging them, says Dylan. Got enough to fill me boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat.
I'm just singing Newfoundlander and I sing a happy song.
Hello friends, this is Michael T. Wall, the singing Newfoundlander, and you are listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock right here on Way Back over CFRC 101.9 Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
And are singing Newfoundlander from the Isle of Newfoundland.
Now friends, I'd like to once again share a collection of great high lonesome songs from the golden era of bluegrass music. With that mentioned, I would also like to share that Andy recorded a great number of bluegrass music as well. With that mentioned, there has also been a great many tribute songs to Mayberry and Andy as well. With that mentioned, let's pay tribute to a collection of three of the best tributes I came across while looking for songs about Andy, but also Mayberry. First, we'll have a classic by the VW Boys, which I found on YouTube, and Whatever Happened to Mayberry. We'll then hear from Andy Budd, who we also found on YouTube, and a song called I Wanna Go Back to Mayberry. Wrap up this collection of Mayberry themed songs with Paul Morgan and a song called If More Daddies Were Like Andy. With that, I would like to dedicate these to the great man himself, who would have celebrated his 100th centennial birthday tomorrow, the late great Andy Griffith.
Whatever happened to Mayberry, like the one they had on the TV, with Andy and Opie and Barney and Aunt Bee? Whatever happened to Mayberry? Towns like that you just can't find on any old map, just any old time, where friends help friends when they're in need. Whatever happened to Mayberry? Whatever.
I'll tell you, Andy, this is big. This is going to put Mayberry on the map. Big is what it is. You know what it is, don't you?
Andy and Opie and Barney named B. Whatever happened to Mayberry? You can't find a town this day and time, a sheriff with no gun and there's no crime, where the jail's not locked, you come and go as you please. Whatever happened to Mayberry? Whatever happened?
I'll tell you, it's a concrete jungle out there. You never know when another beast is going to come down out of the hills. I can handle it, though. I just make my whole body a weapon.
Whatever happened?
Lethal is what it is. It's judo. It's lethal.
The darling boys would come to town. Briscoe's jug would make bluegrass sounds. Back on the truck when it's time to leave. Whatever happened to Mayberry?
Look at there, Andy. The boys are real talkative today,
hey,
ain't they?
Hey, Goober, get a bottle of pop. Stop by Floyd's, get a little off the top. Not a window was safe round old Ernest T. Whatever happened to Mayberry?
All right, hold it right there, Ernest T. Bass.
Whatever happened to Mayberry?
He's a nut,
like
what he
the
is.
One they had on the TV.
I'll tell you what, Andy, let me take him out back and work him over. What do you say?
Whatever happened to Mayberry? Whatever happened to Mayberry? It's a place in our heart called Mayberry.
All right, boys, let's pick it up here. A one, a two, a one.
Oh, this is big.
Thank you.
Can't remember the last time I had any kind of homemade pie. Laid out in the grass in my Levi's, no other reason than to look at the sky. I've been too busy working, I got too much worry and stress, too much traffic in my commute, and I need to decompress. Take me back to Mayberry so I can spend another summer completely free of the hassle and strife of this modern life. With Andy and Opie and old Aunt B, me and Opie going to the fishing hole, bobber and hook on an old cane pole. Life would be sweet if it could be. Won't you take me back to Mayberry? And I can still remember the time when P's and Q's were something of mine. You didn't dare step out of line, or Mama'd take a switch to your behind. Whatever happened to being a kid? They don't play outside anymore, or ride their bikes down Main Street for penny candy at the old drugstore. Take me back to Mayberry so I can spend another summer completely free of the hassle and strife of this modern life. With Andy and Opie and old Aunt B, me and Opie going to the fishing hole, the bobber and hook on an old cane pole. Life would be sweet if it could be. Won't you take me back to Mayberry? Kids today don't seem to care, they're all showing off their underwear. They got their shorts down around their knees, or a thong sticking out of those hip hugger jeans. Me, I'm a little more old school, I'd prefer a little modesty. Well, maybe I'm just a grumpy old fool, and the problem is me. Take me back to Mayberry so I can spend another summer completely free of the hassle and strife of this modern life. With Andy and Opie and old Aunt B, me and Opie going to the fishing hole, the bobber and hook on an old cane pole. Life would be sweet if it could be. Won't you take me back to Mayberry? Yeah, life would be sweet if it could be. Won't you take me back to Mayberry?
There's a little town I've never seen, but I grew up there just the same. And the sheriff was a friend of mine, but he never knew my name. Took me fishing, taught me right from wrong, held me up when I would fall. I can still see that grin on his face, and I can hear his southern drawl. If more daddies were like Andy and more mothers like Aunt B, the preacher man could catch his breath and rest a little more at ease. You could even leave your house unlocked when you lay down to sleep. If more daddies were like Andy and more mothers like Aunt B. I didn't think about it much back then, I was young and didn't know just how much it all would mean to me as I walked down life's road. And that little tune I heard each day, oh, I whistle now and for a moment when I close my eyes, that fishing pole is in my hand. If more daddies were like Andy and more mothers like Aunt B, the preacher man could catch his breath and rest a little more at ease. You could even leave your house unlocked when you lay down to sleep. If more daddies were like Andy and more mothers like Andy. If more daddies were like Andy and more mothers like Andy.
Smoky Mountain Memories.
Hello, friends. This is Larry Sparks and the Lonesome Ramblers. You're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlock, here on the way back.
Smoky Mountain Memories.
Now, friends, I'd like to pay tribute to the second half of this great interview with our good friend and true keeper of her daddy's fame, Miss Karen Knotts, the beloved daughter of Don Knotts, who forever will be remembered as Barney Fife. With that mentioned, back in 2022, I got to sit down with Miss Karen Knotts and talk about her legendary father, about a half-hour interview, which I have cut back quite a bit, to share with y'all today on this 100th anniversary of her friend, Andy Griffith. With that mentioned, we will pay tribute to this all-time interview, and then follow that with an all-time favorite, as done by her dad, off the Mr. Limpet album, and it was a song called I Wish I Was a Fish. With that, here now is my good friend and a keeper of her dad's fame, Miss Karen Knotts.
Now, your father also starred in many films, as we were talking about, one including The Incredible Mr. Limpet. Would you share with us what you know about how he got that role?
Well, this is Agent Abby Greshler,
mm-hmm.
who was kind of a notorious agent at the time. He was, had a reputation of being, you know, he had a strong attitude. Like when they went, you know, Abby had, you know, what was submitting him for Mr. Limpet, and
mm-hmm.
Dad was sort of known then, but he wasn't. He was on his way toward being known.
Exactly.
And so Abby just barged into this meeting.
Yeah.
And said, I got a client here. My dad was, like, totally embarrassed. Like, no, uh-huh. no, we can't do this. But that's how Abby operated. He just would do that.
Okay. And yeah. Your father is also remembered for a show that me and my girlfriend extremely like, and that is Three's Company.
Oh, yeah.
How did he come on to that show, or how did he land the role of Mr. Furley?
That was the casting director, David Graham, who was a friend of my dad's.
Yes.
Suggested him. They wanted to get a Don Knotts type at first, and David Graham said, what are you going to get a Don Knotts type for? Or just get the real Don Knotts?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That happens a lot of times in Hollywood.
Is that right?
They
yes.
get a Don Knotts type, and then not even asking the original person.
That's,
if they're available or interested. And
I see.
The thinking there is, well, this, the real person wouldn't want to do the show because it's not classy enough or not up to their level or whatever, so they just make that assumption.
Exactly. That's what I thought, yes. And that seems to happen a lot in early Hollywood.
It does.
Now, among your father's many later appearances was his reunion on Matlock with Andy.
Yes.
What were those episodes like for him to be back with the Andy Griffith cast and that sort of thing?
Oh, I think he enjoyed it. I was on Return to Mayberry myself.
Yes.
And I played a character called Rudine.
Okay.
And I was really excited, and it was so amazing for me to see, to meet George Lindsay and Jim Nabors.
Yes.
As an adult. You
okay.
know, I hadn't seen them since I was a child. And now here I was a part of the whole thing, and I got to play this new character. And there they were. It was just amazing. It was just fantastic.
I see, yes.
And then I had a scene, and Andy was in the scene, since you mentioned Andy. I'll tell you something that will give you a little insight into what Andy was like. I was extremely nervous when I was in the scene with Andy because I wanted to be perfect for Andy. of course, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. he was a hero to me, you know, mm-hmm. but I was trying too hard and I was working at it too hard. So he comes up with this idea for me to be eating a cookie. I was supposed to be a secretary to this, newspaper that now Ron Howard is Opie is as a grown man. He's the editor of the town newspaper and I was the secretary of it. So Andy suggested that I eat a cookie. And I thought, why am I eating a cookie? But then I realized, because I've had a lot of secretary jobs before, and they're often not, they are eating.
Yes.
Secretaries are eating a lot, and they, you know, they're not. So I was eating a cookie, and as soon as I got that cookie in my hand, I began to relax.
Okay.
And I did a good job. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this is more realistic, and it turned out really well, I thought. So that's how Andy helped people. He was always thinking of things like that.
I see. Okay. And I understand that your father also, you want to become an actress, but he wouldn't, he didn't want that for you.
Well, he knew a lot of people that, who wanted to get in show business and they couldn't make it. And they ended up being very unhappy people and he didn't want that to happen to me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was, yeah, I said that in an interview a long, long time ago, and it was really referring to when I very first told him that, you know, I was a child, and he didn't want me as a child to be in show business, you know, because, you know, he said that would be a hard life, to be a child, and that's true. A lot of child actors grow up with terrible problems.
Yes, you know, they do, for sure.
Alcohol addicted or just, you know, mentally unstable.
Yes.
And the reason is because they haven't had time to establish their own identity, and people know them as these TV characters.
Yes.
So they're trying to relate to them as they see them on TV. Mm-hmm. So people get confused, like, what their own identity is.
I see.
And that was the main reason why he said that at that time. And then I brought it up again when I was, you know, a little older, like 13, 14. And he still wasn't too crazy about it, mainly because, like I was saying, of all these people he knew who didn't make it. And he tried to help people. He had a lot of friends. He would always help the people he knew he could, you know. He'd throw them a small part here or there, whatever he could do. And so when I got to be 16, mm-hmm. he had this variety show. And a girlfriend of his suggested that he give me a part on the show.
Yes.
And he did. He did it.
I see.
So that was my first take.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. And so mm-hmm. you've later gone on to do a one-woman act.
A one-woman show. I just got back, as a matter of fact. I just did two shows in West Virginia. One was in Parkersburg and one in Morgantown.
Yes.
My dad is from Morgantown. And the show went really well. I've been doing it for about 10 years now. All my shows were canceled over the pandemic.
Yes.
So I was kind of nervous about this because I haven't done it in 2 years. You know, and it's a lot of lines, it's a lot of memorization.
Exactly.
It actually turned out great. They loved it. And so I'm really encouraged, and I'm going to expand it even more. So it's called Tied Up in Knots.
Yes.
Same as the book, they both have the same title. The publisher wanted to use the same title as my show, which I thought was a good idea.
Okay.
And so I'm going to continue to, and I have some more bookings coming up in October, and I think there will be a lot more coming up too. So
well, that's great.
People can check my website, KarenKnotts.com, which I will be updating over the next week with these new shows coming up.
Okay, good, good, good. And can we look forward to you coming up to Canada, up north here, with your show?
I haven't had anybody bring me up there. You know, if somebody wants to bring me, they have to bring me up because I can't just come on my own. I need somebody to actually hire me.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So if you put the word out there, maybe this will help. But I would love to come to Canada and do my show.
Well, if I hear something, I'll let you know, Karen. And you also have just released your new book as of last year.
Mm-hmm.
What can we look forward to in this new book?
Well, you know, the shipping crisis did affect some of the bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
But But I think now, I think that the book is now available pretty much everywhere that they would have it. Now, Amazon has definitely has the paperback. I don't know if they have the hardcover. The paperback books are pretty much available everywhere now. Where you would normally get a book like mine. The public library has them too.
Yes.
So I would say, you know, try your local bookstore, and if it doesn't have it, then go to Amazon.com.
Okay, sure. And there's a couple more questions I have for you, but one of them is Don died in 2006, passed away, but you took to 2021 to write the book. What happened that it was so late coming out?
Well, I know people always were asking me to write a book, and I honestly didn't think I could really write a book.
Yes.
I thought, well, I'm not an author. I don't know how to write a book. And I didn't see the point. I didn't see why I should try to write a book when I'm pursuing a career as an actor. But I'm glad I did. I changed my mind. I decided to write the book, and I took my time. I took a lot of interviews, and then I finally felt like I was prepared. I could write a book now. Because, you know, I mean, it's a big deal to write a book. I mean, how do you do that? But I'm glad that I took the time to interview all the people that I did, because then I got a lot more stories.
Exactly.
And I learned more about my dad from the people I interviewed. So then I felt like, okay, now I can write a book.
Exactly. Okay. So it just took time to put it together then.
It took time for me to get the interviews, but actually, once I got the publishing deal, I had to write that book very quickly.
Okay.
I had like less than a year, and that was over the pandemic, so I had nothing else to do but write the book.
Yes.
And I did get it done. So that was really, really, really fantastic.
Well, that's great. And so with the last question for today, and what would you like people to realize about your father?
Well, I just want, you know, people to appreciate him as a person, in addition to the characters he played.
Yeah.
And that is another reason I'm really glad that I wrote the book, because I think in the book I was able to show the other side of him that people don't know about.
Okay.
He was a very, very diverse person with a lot of different sides to him and a lot of different characters that he could play. He did a lot of theater. And just the whole process of him growing up in that very difficult background. And, you know, he had his battles. He was a hypochondriac, and he had a problem with alcohol.
Okay.
And by the end of his life, he had solved all those problems. I was so proud of him.
I see.
That he came so far, you know?
I see. Well, with that, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I'll get a copy of this out to you in the mail if
okay.
Yes. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Nice. Thank you. Same here. Thank you very much.
Yes. God bless you. You have a good day.
You too.
Bye bye.
I wish I were a fish. I wish I were a fish, 'cause fishes have a better life than people.
People.
They don't have all the care and strife of people.
People.
A fish can swim, that's all they ask of him. A fish is free to roam around the sea and look for love wherever he can find it.
Find it.
He flirts with every lady fish as she goes swimming by. And if she gives her tail a swish and winks a fishy eye, a minnow all at once can be a whale of a guy. I wish I were a fish. wish I were a fish, 'cause fishes have a better life than people. They don't have all the care and strife of people. A fish can swim, that's all they ask of him. A fish is free to roam around the sea and look for love wherever he can find it. He flirts with every lady fish as she goes swimming by. And if she gives her tail a swish and winks a fishy eye, a minnow all at once can be a whale of a guy. I wish I were a fish.
And now, friends, I'd like to pay tribute to a song that the legendary, well, by now standards, legendary Brad Paisley, but also the more legendary Andy Griffith, released in 2008. And I believe it was one of the last projects that Andy actually was able to put together. And that was a song that was called Waiting on a Woman. It was released June 23rd of 2008, a song which Brad Paisley and Andy would go on to record together. And it would become a very sought after and very much awarded song. With that mentioned, we'll be back following this with the Way Back Song of the Week, and then follow with Sending Us All Home. With that, welcome in, friends. Now here's Andy and Brad Paisley.
Hey, it's me. I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I'm just waiting. It's been 20 minutes. You're late, so I'm just going to hang out here where we said we'd meet. All right, bye. Hey, it's me. I don't know whether we meant 20 minutes after this hour or 20 minutes after the next hour, but you're closer now to the next hour. Hey, it's me. Is this where we said we'd meet? Because I don't know where you're at. I'm in the little area with the benches. All right, I'm emailing you a photo of me, and this is me, fairly angry. Hey, it's me. I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I've certainly got places to go after this, so hopefully you can be here. Now I'm gonna send you a picture of me, mad, flat out mad. Actually, I just took a picture of a girl that walked by. Never mind.
Town Mall, he sat down in his overalls and asked me,
"You waiting on a woman?"
And I nodded, yeah, and said, "How about you?" He said,
"Son, since 1952, I've been waiting on a woman."
When I picked her up for our first date, I told her I'd be there. She came down the stairs
at 8:30.
She said, "I'm sorry that I took so long. Didn't like a thing that I tried on."
Well, let me tell you, son, she sure looked pretty.
Yeah, she'll take her time,
but I don't mind waiting on a woman.
He said the wedding took a year to plan. You talk about an anxious man.
I was nervous,
waiting on a woman. And then he nudged my arm like old men do and said, "I'll say this about the honeymoon.
It was worth it."
Waiting on a woman. And I don't guess we've been anywhere. She hasn't made us late, I swear. Sometimes she does it just 'cause she can do it. Boy, it's just a fact of life. It'll be the same with your young wife.
You might as well go on if you used to.
She'll take her time, 'cause you don't mind.
Thank you.
sense, cause I know she won't be ready. So when it finally comes my time and I get to the other side, I'll find myself a bench.
If they got it,
they've got it. I hope she takes her time.
But I don't,
cause I don't mind
waiting on a line.
Take your time, cause I don't mind,
I don't mind
waiting on a woman.
Now, friends, I would like to once again pay tribute to the Wayback Song of the Week. With that mentioned, there was a song that Andy Griffith released back in the glory days of his career, and several people over the years have also recorded, including Mack Wiseman, but I have always enjoyed Andy Griffith's version the best. With that, let's pay tribute to the Wayback Song of the Week, which is called The Preacher and the Bear. We'll be back following this. Send us all home. Welcome in, friends.
Choir, be seated. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we start, I got two announcements I want to read off to you. The deacons wish that whoever keeps writing, "Meet me in the basement," on the back of the hymn books would cut it out, because everybody that goes down there tracks mud all over the church. Amen. And the deacons also wish that whoever keeps putting the frog in the baptismal pool would cut that out, because everybody's getting warts from it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, preacher went a-hunt. It was on a Sunday morning. Now, Coast was again his religion, but he took his gun along. He shot himself some very fine quail and one old measly hide. And then on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Well, that bear marched out in the middle of the road, and he waltzed to the preacher, you see. Well, the preacher, he got so excited, he clumb a persimmon tree. Well, the bear, he sat down upon the ground, the preacher climbed out on a limb. He cast his eyes to the God in the skies, and these words he says to him. Lord, didn't you deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Also deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. But oh Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, don't you help that bear. Well, that preacher sat up in that tree, some say that hit us all night. Along about daybreak, he says, oh Lord, if you don't help that bear, then you're gonna see one awful fight. Well, just as he said it, the limb let go, and the preacher, he come floating down. Oh, it was a sight to see him just before he hit the ground. He struck old earth a-cutting right and left. He did put up a pretty good fight. Boy, he could do much, that bear grabbed him, squeezed him a little too tight. Well, the preacher, he lost his hunting knife, but the bear held on with a vim. So one more time, he cast his eyes to the God in the skies, and these words he says to him. Oh, Lord, didn't you deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Also deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. Well, oh Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, don't you help that bear.
Now, friends, before we wrap up today's show, there was a second series that Andy Griffith made famous. That, of course, was his character of Ben Matlock in the long-running series from 1986 to 1995, Matlock. With that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to that second series now with playing its theme for all the Andy Griffith fans out there who always enjoyed his Matlock character. With that, we'll be back following this. Send us all home. Welcome in, friends.
Matlock is very bright. He's very cheap. He's very vain. All the things I'm not. I enjoyed that character a lot.
Thank you.
Now, friends, it's once again that time to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny show. With that mention, I would like to share that Andy Griffith was inducted into the Television Hall of Fame in 1991. He would also become a very award-winning actor during his career, as well as a gospel singer and bluegrass pioneer as well. With that mention, he sadly passed away on July 3rd, 2012, at the age of 86. However, he will always be respected as one of the true people in American history that can transport us back to a simpler era and time. With that mention, may he forever rest in peace, and may his memory forever live on in the hills of Mount Airy, North Carolina. With that mention, we'll send us all the way home today with three great songs to close out the show. First of all, it's going to be Jim Nabors, who always played Gomer Pyle and was a much beloved gospel singer as well. From Jim, it'll be a version of Amazing Grace. We'll then follow with Andy Griffith once again and his all-time version of I'll Fly Away. And then we'll wrap up this set with Sending Us All the Way Home with none other than that theme song that has become such a huge part of American, North American, actually, history of television, the Andy Griffith theme song. With that, may God bless and keep y'all till we meet again next weekend. Just a reminder that next weekend, I will be up in Niagara Falls, but the show will be on, same time, same great place, CFRC 8 to 11 over CFRC 101.9 FM. And next weekend, I do hope to have a up-to-date program with none other than a tribute to Don Messer and his Islanders. With that, may God bless and keep y'all till we meet again, and we're just going to say so long for today. So long, friends, and happy listening.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Celestial shore, I'll smile. Let the white robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound.
Another day gone by, with good friends all around me. How the time did fly.
Howdy, friends and listeners. This here is your old host with most, Johnny Whitlock, reporting for Way Back with Johnny over this great channel. The previous show does not represent anything associated with the channel heard on. It is the sole associate of Woodlock Ranch Studios, Cornwall, Ontario. With that, have a great day, and we'll catch y'all next week. So long, friends.
It's hard to find the words I want to say, but friends, I'll try. God bless you all and keep you till we meet again. Good.